Now, the reading this morning is from the second letter of John. The reading this morning is from the first letter of John, chapter 2, verses 28 to chapter 3, verse 10. First book of John, chapter 2, verse 28, following. Now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Look at how great the love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. I'll read that last verse again. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. This reading is it's a bridge. It's a bridge between the first two chapters of John, where he talks about fellowship, and the second section where he talks about sonship, children of God. John here uses three important words, and it's great. The Bible I'm reading from didn't have the word in it. So now, little children, remain in him is what I said. And one of the other translations says, abide in him. John using the word abide. Abide, we have to recognize the importance of abiding in Christ. Abide in Christ, believe the truth, obey the truth, love your Christian brethren. If any of us lacks fellowship with God, if any of us believers lack fellowship with God, maybe we have disobeyed his word. Maybe we haven't been loving to our brethren. Maybe we have believed a lie. What must we do? We must immediately confess our sin and claim God's forgiveness. John has already said in this letter, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins. But no, as a father who loves us, it goes on and says, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the next important words that John uses here is appear. Appear. This is the first mention. It's the first mention in this epistle of the promised return of Christ. Yes, I know that the return of Christ is gone through in great detail in the book of Revelation. And it would take me a long time to go through it all. But here, in John's writing, and here again in chapter 3, verse 3, and in chapter 4, verse 17, John mentions the return of Christ and the coming day of judgment. But the fact that Christ might return at any time, any moment, that must be an incentive for us to fellowship with him and be obedient to his word. This causes John to use another word. The other word is ashamed. 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 Any Christian, any believer, not walking in fellowship with Christ, in obedience, in truth, and in love, will lose his rewards. And this will make him ashamed. This will make us ashamed. As believers, when we look in any direction, we'll always find a reason to obey God. If we look back, we see Calvary. We see Christ's death on the cross for our salvation. If we look within, we see the Holy Spirit given to us by God, living in us and teaching us the truth. If we look around, we see the people around us whom God loves, the great cloud of witnesses, and whom God has asked us to love. If we look outside, as Brian said earlier, we look outside, we see a world lost in sin. We see a world needing our godly witness. If we look ahead, we see Christ returning. I don't know, do you sing that song? Which one was it? You are the rock of my salvation. Anyway, we stand on the rock. We stand on the rock who is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And we stand on that rock. And all around us, the seas come in. The attacks come. You know, the world is falling down on all around us. But we are looking further. We are looking to Christ. We are looking for his return. It's lovely. Lovely when we sang earlier on how great the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. We didn't sing that, but it was in my mind as we sang. So we come to the sonship and the daughtership that we have as God's children. And like I said, and we are. That's what it says here. That's good enough for me. And we are God's children. The whole wonderful plan of God's salvation begins with God's love. He has changed us into a new creation. Totally, we are totally delivered from the bondage of sin. And there's a new power released in us because of who we are. We, as we sang again, we have the authority as sons of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, reads, "But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in the name, who were who were not from blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God." We have the authority to become children of God. We have the authority to live as sons of God. We have the authority over sin. We have the authority over Satan. We have the authority over the life that God wants us to live. The heading in our this morning was about our identity in Christ. My identity. Oh, my identity. Wow. What a problem that is. Even when I became a believer, the first thing I would stand up in front of people and say is, "My name is Cullum, I'm a believer and I'm a sinner." But how wrong I was, how wrong I am, how wrong any of us is to think this. First of all, we are children of God. First of all, right? I am the Son of God, firstly. How great the Father's love. Look at how great the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished on us. When I teach the Bowron, if I teach the Bowron, when I teach the Bowron, we do a jig. And a jig goes bacons and eggs and lashings of sausages, bacon and eggs and lashings of sausages, bacon and eggs and lashings of sausages. Lashings of sausages. Lots of them. And when I read this, how great the love the Father has lavished on us, what I want to say is how great the lashings of love the Father has given us. That's what I want to say, because it's lashings of love. There's enough there. He keeps on giving it out because he's eternal, because we are human. And it doesn't matter how much he gives us, there's still room for more. Our Christian identity, my identity as a son of God, is my primary identity. We belong to him. It's not our self-image. We need to live in the reality. We need to live in the reality that we are going to be seated in the heavens and reigning with him. And that should change our outlook about how we see things now. Because we are sons of God. What is our destiny as sons of God? Our destiny is when Christ returns, we will be changed in an instant. And we'll be just like Christ, Jesus, for all eternity. Just like Jesus for all eternity. Morally, corporally, and totally without sin. In verse 3, which reads, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have a responsibility as sons of God, as God's children. We are to conform ourselves to be like Jesus. We are to line up our objectives with his. We need to take the responsibility to be sanctified using God's grace, his provision to do this. And then we can work in line with Jesus. Yes, it used to be so easy for me to say, oh, here I am, I'm a believer and a sinner. No, first of all, I'm a son of God. Sin is out of place in our lifestyle. We've got to put it away. Jesus used his authority to resist Satan. And we must submit to God, take on the mantle of Christ, clothed in righteousness, and resist the devil. We have the authority over the devil. We have the authority over Satan and all his powers. But what happens? So often, we're living under the law. Yes, I'm living under the law. I can resist sin. Here we are, trying to resist sin out of our own willpower. And we have no power. We have no willpower. We are under grace. We're not somewhere between our own willpower and Satan. But through God's grace, we have the authority. Yes, we have the power to resist. We have the power. There's a lanky, 6 foot something, 1.8 meter, lanky streak of misery policeman standing out there in the street. There's a 20-ton truck coming down the road from Holyhead. That policeman doesn't have a lot of power, but he has the authority. He can stop that 20-ton truck. None of us would try to do it. But he has the authority. He has the power to do that. And that's what we've been given. We have been given the power through our authority. This power, read from Titus. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous and godly way in the present age. Grace so amazing, grace so divine. Grace is present with us before we sin. Grace gives us the authority to say no to sin. And yet, God's grace is still present, even if we sin, fall, or fail. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free from sin and the bondage of the devil. His blood cleanses us and releases us from sin. God's Holy Spirit gives us the power to live a righteous and sinless life as God's children. Because we are God's children, that is our natural setting. God's seed planted in us, his word, his Holy Spirit, transforming us, keeping us from sin. God's children, we believers, are known by our fruit. And God's Holy Spirit in us will always bring fruit. So, I have a question for you. A couple of questions for you. Are we sowing to the Spirit? Are we sure of our identity in Christ as God's children? Are we being true to our godly nature? Are we using the God-given authority over Satan, over sin? Are we in tune with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, enlightening us? These questions are difficult, but the answer is there. We are God's children. We have been born of Him. We have been transformed. We have the authority. We are in His nature. His Holy Spirit lives within us. We're in tune with that. So, they're the thoughts I have for you this morning, God's Word. I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray a prayer from Psalm 112. May you be men and women who fear the Lord. May you find great delight in the Lord's commands. May your children be mighty in the land, even to the next generation. And may you and your children be blessed. May you find your wealth and your riches in God. May you endure in righteousness forever. Even in the darkness, may the light shine for you. May you be gracious, compassionate, and righteous. May you never be shaken. And may you all be remembered by the Lord forever. Amen.